Now, this morning, my thoughts really have been drawn to the subject that we were thinking of on Friday evening with the men, the subject of friendship. It's a subject that's come up recently, and we have this sort of week between the two series, and I think it will be a good thing for us to think a little bit more about this very important subject. We thought of it a few weeks before Christmas, and we read this passage in Proverbs together then on a Wednesday, and drew out some aspects of friendship. And then on Friday evening at the men's meeting, we were thinking of some aspects of friendship because we were thinking of two friends. Now, you can't have friendship without at least two. And particularly, we're going to think of friendship of one and another as Christian believers this morning. We thought of the friendship of the man who wrote that wonderful hymn that we sang a little bit earlier on, John Newton, and his dear friend, William Cooper. And I think we had a profitable time thinking about those two men, and you can read their lives. Now, one thing that we did as we began and we thought about that, as we read out a quotation from Morris Roberts, which was in the Banner of Truth magazine some years ago. And this is what he says, and this is how I want to begin this morning as well. Christian friendships are no doubt ordained to draw forth from us the highest powers of our soul, and so lead to our greatest usefulness and sanctification. And if we have a text, well, it's in Proverbs chapter 27, and it's that wonderful little example there in verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. J.C. Ryle, in his book Practical Religion, he has a section on friendship, I think, in there, and he says this: a friend is one of the greatest blessings on earth. And that's true, isn't it? A friend is one of the greatest blessings on earth. But we can't really consider the subject of Christian friendship, one Christian with another, without first just introducing the subject by thinking of the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ to you and I. Because if we don't see that friendship, firstly, as our model, as our example, as the perfect and the supreme friendship, then our friendships will not have a standard to look to. And you know, in so many things, unless we have a standard that is set, then our standards can become so low. Now, we will never reach that standard, of course, because the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ is a perfect friendship. There are a number of things about the friendship of the Lord Jesus with his people, which are just a wonderful. It is a unique friendship. It cannot ultimately be copied, because this is the Son of God declaring himself to be friends with sinners. That cannot be copied. That is unique. It is perfect. In the Song of Solomon, the question goes up: what is your beloved above another beloved? And the answer comes back: well, my beloved is so much better, so more wonderful, so more glorious than any other friendship. And we must always remember that. And you know, you cannot be a good friend to another as a Christian without looking first to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just turn with me to John chapter 15, where the Lord himself speaks to us about this subject. In John chapter 15, we'll turn to a number of scriptures today, either turn to them or just listen, or if you're making notes, make a note of the references. But in John 15, this is what the Lord Jesus says in verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you Now, when we choose our friends, we naturally choose friends because there's something about them that's attractive. As we're drawn together in a church, well, we seek to be friends with each one. But obviously, naturally, our friendships are drawn out towards one another because we see something in them that attracts us. Something natural, that is. But here is this friendship of the Lord Jesus with you and me. He says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And look what it says a little bit earlier on in verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. And the Lord Jesus, having laid down his life for each one of us, we will never be without a friend. It's a sad thing to be friendless. We do meet people, don't we, who say, I don't have any friends. Well, of course, we need to introduce them to the one who will be their perfect friend, their eternal friend. We think of Beulah and that Thanksgiving yesterday. The relationship that she had with the Lord Jesus Christ was such a close one that having entered into heaven, taking that step from earth to heaven, she is in the presence of her greatest, her wonderful friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And of course, as we live our lives as Christians, what a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. We could say a great deal about that supreme friendship. It was in that first hymn. And will this sovereign King of glory condescend? And will he write his name, my Saviour and my friend? I love his name. I love his word. Join all my powers to praise the Lord. And we've been thinking of recent times about the relationship we have with the Lord Jesus in adoption. And we are brothers to him, sisters to him. And he has brought us into his family. That is a wonderful relationship. We thought a lot last year about grace, the God of grace. And here is the grace of the Lord Jesus, that he has called us friends. The great example, friendship to us. Now, therefore, as we come and think about friendship with one another, we're thinking here of two of us together. Iron sharpens iron. Here is one and another in friendship together. As Christian believers, as the Lord brings us in providence, and we have to acknowledge God's providence in bringing friends together. We saw it with the men on Friday, how amazingly William Cooper, the character that he was, he was in a particular place, and Newton really had no cause to be there, but God caused an accident to a carriage, a change of plan, and Newton was brought into the home where Cooper was. And that was God's providence. And God brings friends together in his providence. He brings us together in churches. He brings us together because we change our jobs and our locations. Maybe we have to come to a different place. Maybe we're born here, but God has brought us here. He brings us into friendships one with another through the house party, through conferences, through going on the weekends away and so on. We thank God for his great providence. And he brings friendships to be. And all through scripture we see how God has shown us examples of friendships. And we're not meant to be alone. A man or a woman who constantly is alone and never with friends, you know what happens to them? They become a bit odd, don't they? They become a bit peculiar. Because we've all got a tendency, a propensity, to go off down a track. Whatever that track may be, we get wound up in our little world. We get wound up in our little hobby or whatever it might be. Or maybe we just get wound up in ourselves. And we were thinking on Friday again of how we need to have that self-forgetfulness. And friendship is that which God has given to us to help us, to draw us out of that which is wrong, about constantly thinking of ourselves or being so selfish that we shut out others. Weren't you, those of you who are married, of your greatest friend is your wife or your husband. But we shouldn't be shut away, just the two of us together, so much that we don't have other friends. It's a great privilege to have friends. As Ryle says, it's one of the greatest privileges in life to have friends. So as we think of this, we think of the example of friendship of the Lord Jesus. When we think about our friendships together, we must always have an eye to him. Always have an eye to how he has befriended us and the nature of his friendship and the wonder of it and the grace of it and the kindness of it. And then we must also have an eye to the providence of God, that God has brought us together to be friends. Now, if you're looking for the ideal friend, well, it may be that God has just brought you amongst one another here and in our circle and those others that you know. And he brings people together by his providence. And naturally, it wouldn't have been that Newton and Cooper would have been friends, because they were very, very different people. But God sometimes brings different people together. And we think of David and Jonathan and what different men they were, and how God, by his providence, brought David into the court of Saul, and how David and Jonathan became knit together as friends. God's providence in friendship. There is the example, there is providence. Now we want to think about profit. How we profit one another. And that's what we're going to think about this morning. I've got a number of little headings that we can take, perhaps just to divide up our material, and think about this. How do we profit one another? How can we profit one another? For here is this little text, iron sharpens iron. There's profit of one with another. We're sharpening one another. We're having effect upon one another's lives. We're enhancing them in spiritual things. We're helping one another. And how can we profit one another in that way? Well, not like Christian and Faithful. We've quoted this example before. I love this example about Christian and Faithful in Pilgrim's Progress. There's Christian and there's Faithful. Christian went and looked forward, and he saw Faithful before him on his journey. And Christian shouted out to him, "Stay and I'll be your companion." "Hey, I'll be your friend," he says. At this, Christian was somewhat moved, and putting up all his strength, he quickly got up with Faithful, and he also did overrun him. He ran past him, saying, "I'm a better person than you are." Then did Christian vaingloriously smile, because he'd gotten the start of his brother. But not taking good heed to his feet, he suddenly stumbled and fell, and could not rise again until Faithful came to help him up. And we will not be good friends, we will not profit one another, unless we walk side by side. If as friends you have that feeling of your friend that I am better than him, or superior to her, or my spiritual walk is somehow greater or better, like Christian, some pride has come in, and he decides he's going to run past him and say, "Come on, you catch up with me. I'm better than you." And he falls down. And he was grateful for Faithful's friendship to then come and lift him up. Friendship is walking together. It's iron sharpening iron. And two have to walk together to be agreed. Now, Harry said to me yesterday, you had 3 points. Well, I did say we were going to have 3 points this morning, but then I changed my thinking. So we have 7. Because we changed the sermon. We were going to do Mark this morning, but I felt it's right that we should take this subject. And I think in God's providence, it is a right thing to think about this subject a little bit more. So here are 7 very simple things about profiting in friendship. And the first is this. It is to care. It is to care. When you read of that wonderful friendship between Christian and Faithful in Pilgrim's Progress, they come to care for one another so very deeply. But at first, Christian thought, "I'm better than him." He cared for himself. more than he cared for faithful. Now we are to care for one another, and particularly in the realm of spiritual things. Yes, we are to care for one another in physical things, and that is right. Somebody has a puncture, we'll go and help them. Somebody needs some help doing something in a practical way. Well, it's right that we should care practically and physically. Of course it is. But here is David in Psalm 142, and this is what he says. In Psalm 142, and the first four verses, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. David, what's the matter? What's the matter, David? He goes on, he says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path and the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see. For there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. David, what does it come down to? What is the real problem? David, why are you so distressed? And he tells us, no one cares for my soul. No one cares for my soul. Now, I think it's relatively easy to care for one another physically and in other things. To say to a friend, and a Christian friend, let's go to a football match together. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's go. Do you want some help with this? Moving house, one thing it is, whatever it may be. But here is David. And underneath, deep down, his distress is that no one cares for his soul. So the first thing this morning, as we think about profiting one another, we need to care for one another in a deeper way. To care for the souls, for the spiritual well-being of one another. In that passage in Proverbs, verse 19. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. If you look into water, if you look into a still pond or a lake, you can see yourself. And the water reflects the face of a man. And so we read that a man's heart reveals the man. You know, we're very good, aren't we, at putting on a face, as they say. Putting on that, well, I'm okay. Particularly if we're British. That's what we call the stiff upper lip, isn't it? How are you? I'm okay. And what we see the man from the outside. But a man's heart reveals the man. And we are to care for one another with a heart care, which is deeper than that just outward physical care. Iron will sharpen iron if we care. Do you care? Would you just come on a Sunday, enjoy one another's company? Maybe we come on a Wednesday. Oh, we quite enjoy that. But do we really care? Then secondly, support. Support. Mutual help, encouragement, courage, enabling us to stand in the face of opposition and difficulty, to support one another. In other words, to be by the side of one another. Who would have ever heard of Meshach? Unless you'd heard of Shadrach and Abednego. Three friends. Let's turn and read about them in Daniel. In the example we have here of friendship, as we say, right throughout the scripture, there are deposited for us examples of friendships throughout the Word of God. And here we have, in Daniel chapter 3, and verses 16 to 18, something about these men. Because of their unwillingness to do what the ungodly king had said, to stand up for God, this is their situation. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer to you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Brave words. Courageous words. But you see, it says us and we. I don't know whether this is the case or not, but I wonder if Meshach was strong enough, able enough, to face that burning fiery furnace on his own. Oh, we know that God gives to some men great character, great strength of character and courage, as he did to Daniel. That Daniel was able to go even into the lion's den. But not to everyone is that measure of courage and bravery given, and the ability to stand. And so we have here this example of these three men, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And here was support for one another. Here is the principle we find in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. That principle that two are better than one, and a threefold cord cannot be broken. That when we are put together, when together we are able to stand and help one another. Well, we didn't have Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego this morning. We had Chloe, Sarah and Joan. And I don't know whether they would have done it on their own, but to be together is a great help, isn't it? To support one another. Care and support. Proverbs 17:17 in that chapter on friendship, which is the one we read, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. We're in a time of adversity. It's not just times of adversity, but other times too, where we need the support of one another. Two are better than one. Profitable friendship then in care, secondly in support, thirdly in example. In example. Let's just turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 . This is what Paul writes to young Timothy. These things command and teach. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Well, Paul is spending a lot of time here speaking about example. Isn't the word of God the most important thing? Isn't it that Timothy should know how to preach the word of God? Well, of course it is. And Paul counsels him to preach the entire word of God. And he tells him about that word, how it's profitable for all things. But he tells him too that example is a great thing. And in friendship, isn't that a help to us, a profit to us? Example. You know, Paul writes to Titus as well. If you just turn over a few pages in Titus chapter 2. But as for you, he says, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. So Titus, take the word of God and preach the word of God. That is so very important. But he goes on a bit further, doesn't he? That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in the faith, in love, in patience. And then the older women, and so on. And he talks about the younger ones too. What is he doing? He is saying this, that the word of God should have an effect upon each one of us, whether older or younger, men or women, in such a way that we become examples to one another. And I remember a quotation, we've used this on a house party many times, it's one of those quotes that stands out in my mind, Thomas Brooks, example is the most powerful rhetoric. So what we say, or what is maybe said from the pulpit or taught, is wonderful. And it's great, it's the word of God, and it's truth, and it's there for us, but if it's not lived out by example, then it doesn't have the same power, it doesn't have the same ring to it, does it? And so when Paul's writing to Timothy and Paul's writing to Titus, he says, the word of God, yes, but example, you've got to be an example so that others will follow and others will see. What a powerful thing, says Brooks, is example. Man is a creature that is led more by patterns than precepts. Well, that's a question you can debate. Is that true or not? I know this is true. This is Peter Jeffrey's little rhyme. If every church member was just like me, what kind of church would my church be? Now take that and turn it into a quotation about friendships. If every friend was just like me, what kind of friend would my friend be? Very challenging, isn't it? It's very challenging in the way of friendship that we must be examples to one another. Examples of holiness, of life, and living out the truth of God's word. In that article by Maurice Roberts, which has been so helpful over the years, he says this, our best friends are those whose company makes us afraid to sin. Our best friends are those in whose company we're afraid to sin. In other words, such is their example to us that they make us feel that we should up our game. That we're stretched by their example in the paths of holiness and kept from the paths of sin. Such is their example. I think we can say, therefore, our worst friends are those that cause us to sin. I think of these footballers. I won't name them. You know the recent examples that we've been given, and this golfer, world renowned name, I think it's said that his name as a personality is known by more people in the world than anyone else, the most well known sportsman in the world. What an example. What a terrible example. Oh, we're to be examples to one another. We're not going to do all seven, are we? Fourthly, encouragement. Encouragement. I think we've dealt with this subject just recently. Roger's helped us so much on a Wednesday going through the life of Jonathan and David. And of course, there's that great example that we've seen just recently, as we've gone through with Roger, as he's taken us through the life of David. How Jonathan went into the woods. He went out there to David and he encouraged his great friend. Turn with me to the passages we've been looking at. 1 Samuel 23. 1 Samuel 23. Which even I'm having difficulty finding this morning. In 1 Samuel 23. And verse 16. 1 Samuel 23. Verse 16. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. Oh, so much in this verse, isn't there? That this is Jonathan, Saul's son. I think it's been made plain to us as we studied this passage that this is an amazing thing, that it should be Jonathan, Saul's son. And what bravery, what courage this young man had to go out to David in this way. Because David's life was in danger, surely Saul would even stop at nothing to prevent David from getting the throne. And yet here's his son, Jonathan, going out, and he goes to strengthen his hand in God. It doesn't just say, does it, that he went to strengthen his hand, or he just went to encourage him. He went to strengthen his hand and to encourage him in God. Alexander White says, be sure you see the full truth and beauty of that visit of Jonathan to the wood of Ziph. David was in danger of losing his faith in God, which if he had lost, he would have been the coming king of Israel and Jonathan's rival no longer. And Jonathan, seeing that, came to the wood of Ziph to strengthen David in God, lest his faith should fail. And sometimes, you know, our faith fails. And we struggle. And we need that encouragement. I've always thought it's interesting what Jonathan says to him. Look at verse 17. And he said to him, Jonathan said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. Now, what is Jonathan saying here? Jonathan is telling David what David already knows. David has been anointed king, anointed by Samuel, to be king of Israel. God has told him he would be king. But David's faith in that is wavering. His hold on it is slipping. All the events have shown that his life is in grave danger. And Saul is after him. And Saul had all the resources at his command to find him and to finish him off. What Jonathan told David was nothing other than that which God had told David before. And you know, sometimes as friends, we are at a loss to know what to say, aren't we? Our friend is in some difficulty, going through some trial. What can we say? Well, we should say nothing other than what God already says to that friend, says to us. We are to come surely, like Jonathan did, and strengthen our friend's hand in God. We sometimes tend to think that we've got to say something or do something which will bolster them up and help them and encourage them ourselves. Well, we can do many things in kindness and care and support, as we've been thinking. But it's to bring God's word and say, look, friend, this is what God says. Because when we've gone, you see, we want our friend to remember what God has said. What God encourages us with. And we are the channel then, and the instrument of friendship and of God's word. Well, there are a number of other things, and I think because of time, we'll leave them. Maybe you can think of them. But I trust that this is a profit and a help to us. Never take an eye off the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand the providence of God in bringing us together as friends. We walk together as agreed, iron and iron. We are to help and profit one another. How are we to do that? Firstly, by caring for one another. Caring more deeply than just outwardly, but for our souls. How are we to do that? Secondly, by support, that we stand one with the other, because two are better than one. How are we to do that? Thirdly, by example, that our example should be a help, not a hindrance, to our friends. And how are we to do that? By encouragement, strengthening one another, just simply by bringing the word of God and saying, this is what God says, and giving it to your friend to encourage and help them. Well, there's more to come, perhaps on another time. Let's just pray together. Lord, we thank and praise you for that wonderful friendship that we have known. What a friend we have in Jesus. I found a friend. Oh, what a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. Lord, help us, we pray, to reflect something of that friendship as you have drawn us together and placed us in one another's company, that we might encourage and help one another. Lord, we are set against the world and the flesh and the devil. They are set against us. And Lord, we are in a battlefield, and we know, Lord, how the comradeship of one and another in the battlefield, humanly speaking, is so much of a great help. Lord, help us in our spiritual battles, in our difficulties, as well as in our joys, Lord, to be encouragers of one another, even as Jonathan came and encouraged David and strengthened his hand in God. Bless us, Lord, in these things, we pray. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.